With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 550.
One more hour to go. I'm calling it Two Bros Live. It's a play on One Bills Live, obviously. No Steve Tasker or John Murphy today. You got myself, Joe DiBiase, and Lou DiBiase. You're getting a lot of me today, by the way, because I'm basically sandwiching the afternoon show, and then I'm on now, and then I'll be on for the nightcap later on from 7 to 9. Probably just, you know, talk about similar things.
Talk about Tannehill destinations.
Maybe a little hockey. Sabres are on a bye week, though, so.
Lovely.
Lovely? You glad they're on a bye week?
Yes. Seen the Canucks are wearing their fifth jersey this year, by the way.
I can't argue either.
Red one? I think it's just a warm jersey.
We all need a few days away. We all need a break. Yeah. We all need a break from the Sabres right now.
The NFL's being stingy with jerseys, too. The Niners can't wear their... want to wear their vintage 90s jerseys for the Super Bowl.
How stupid is that, by the way? Why can't North American sports be fun?
The NBA is the only one that does it well. Soccer does it. Soccer should be the blueprint.
They have
let them wear whatever they want. It makes you money. You're going to make so much money on jersey sales alone.
Listen, soccer, like the Premier League, there's more history in the Premier League than the NHL or the NFL. Like, that sport dates back, that league dates back to the 1800s. And they change their jerseys every single year. Like, every year
Manchester
they have
United's
a different
wearing
kit.
Green and they're red and yellow.
I'm a Liverpool fan. Yeah. Their colors are red and white. Guess what their away jerseys were 2 years ago? Neon green and gray. Guess what they were last year? Purple and orange. Like, they whatever. Like, yeah. They, because they sell them, and, like, let's get creative.
The NFL and NHL, especially, more so, I think. Yeah, the NHL's worse with
it. So, what Lou's referencing here is apparently the 49ers want to wear their 1994 throwback jerseys.
The Steve Young ones.
Which they have worn this year.
They got an exception once. They're not getting it again.
But they're pushing for it in the Super Bowl, which to me, that's what I'd like to see. I heard Howard and Jeremy talk about this morning, that it red versus red. You know, it'd be tough to have, like, a cool, like, jersey, like, coinciding here. Like, I like color versus color. You obviously can't do that. You can't have red Chiefs versus red 49ers. So someone's got to wear all white, probably. Or could they do, like, color rush in the Super Bowl?
The Niners can wear their black jerseys. Remember those?
With the red numbers?
Yeah.
Don't they have all gold jerseys, too?
I've never seen them wear an all gold.
Wasn't there a color rush along the way?
I don't believe so, but that's something they could do.
Just to debut them in the Super Bowl. Yeah. So they're pushing for it, and the NFL's not letting them wear these jerseys. That's ideally what I'd like to see. I don't like the Chiefs' white jerseys, white uniforms.
I want red versus white on white.
Yes, but I agree. I want it to be the throwback 49ers jerseys. Funny enough about that, by the way, Albert Breer pointed this out earlier from MMQB. They're not even really 1994 throwbacks. They're actually 1950s throwbacks that the 49ers wore as throwbacks in 1994. So they really are 50s throwbacks.
So those weren't their, like,
no, they were their regular uniforms that year, but they were
one-time thing.
Well, maybe they wore them more than that, but they were the same jerseys they wore in the 50s. They had brought them back.
It's like an anniversary thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Sounds like
a
neat concept.
Was
it
94 the 75th anniversary? Yeah,
sounds like a neat concept that a hockey team could use, you know, in Buffalo for their 50th anniversary.
Let's not get into that. It's just going to drive me crazy, and then we'll never get back to football.
True.
You like the Super Bowl matchup, by the way? I think we got the.
I kind of wanted
to see Rodgers versus Mahomes. Yeah, me too. Even though Rodgers has not been. Like, he's been great this year, but he hasn't been Aaron Rodgers.
Green Bay is not the entertaining team that San Fran is across the board, like defense, you know, skill position
players,
and offense.
They had a weird season.
But if you catch them in a shootout, Rodgers versus Mahomes, that arm talent, you were saying the first hour how Mahomes is maybe the most talented quarterback you've ever seen and Rodgers is second closest.
For me, yeah.
Because what did we always want for like a decade, or what were, at least the national media was always calling for, like Brady Rodgers. We never got that in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Rodgers Mahomes is better. I mean, Mahomes is way more talented arm-wise, so I would have liked that, but like overall roster-wise, the Niners are a more entertaining product. It's just...
They're a better team.
If Jimmy G is going to...
Were the Packers even good?
I don't.
Is anyone sure of that? Do we know if the Packers were good?
They were one of the worst bye week teams I've ever seen.
They still won a playoff game though.
Yeah.
Like how much can I bang on them? They just never seemed like they had it going.
I agree. There was never this dominant stretch where you're like, okay, here's the Packers. They're coming.
Right.
They're right there with the Niners. And
there was
nothing
going into that game yesterday that made me or a lot of people think that they could win that football game
against
San Francisco, and they got run over.
But
like,
I was
surprised.
I didn't think there was going to be a chance where they got blown out. And without Garoppolo even having to throw the football. I mean, Raheem Mostert had 220 yards and 4 touchdowns. A guy that got cut by, what, 7 teams?
By the way, I have a fantasy playoff league, and I'm not even sure Raheem Mostert is owned. He probably is, but he's probably a later-round
pick. He helps
out
your theory about not investing much in running backs.
It's not a theory.
Niners.
There is so much evidence. It can't be
considered
a theory.
Derrick Henry is evidence against
him. He was a second-round pick, and he's getting paid like $1 million.
But that's second-round picks.
Go ahead. Pay him next year.
Second-round pick to
happens.
You is a high investment in running back.
Yeah, it's higher, but it's not crazy. It's not a first-round pick.
All right, so first round is the only thing you consider
yes.
high?
Do
only
not touch
money.
A running back in the first round. Your team is in
the
dark ages
if you
do that.
What if my team is loaded and I have 80-plus million in
never,
cap space?
Never.
I don't
never
accept
do it.
This. I don't accept
I
this.
I will never be on board with drafting a running
back
in the first round.
I agree with you if it's just like a one-dimensional running back, but if I can get Christian McCaffrey, that's to me a bona fide wide receiver, one or two as well, I'm still taking that weapon.
Who went? Do you know who? I don't know the list. I could look. When was McCaffrey drafted?
8th overall in 2017.
The 2017
Fournette
NFL draft?
Went ahead of him.
It's a pretty good draft.
It's a great draft Fournette. For running back. Dalvin Cook was a second-round pick.
Fournette.
David Johnson was a fourth in that draft, I think.
Third
or maybe that
pick.
Was the year before. Kamara was the late-rounder in that draft.
He was a third-round pick.
Oh, yeah. Kamara went in the fourth.
I'll take him. Like, that's
I
what
understand.
I'm saying.
But once
that's
you get
I'm
Kamara,
saying.
Are the Saints going to let Kamara walk now? Once you have Kamara, do
sure.
you not pay
yes.
Kamara?
Yes, draft the next one.
You're
draft
insane.
The next Kamara
you're
in the third
round. You're insane to let a guy like Kamara just go.
Listen,
are the
Bills,
Panthers not going to pay Christian McCaffrey?
The Bills rebuilt their running back core in one offseason. They spent 2 vet minimum contracts and a third-round pick.
I understand.
And they got exponentially better than what they were the year before, when Chris Ivory was their most efficient running back.
Hang on.
What?
They also revamped the entire offensive line.
But that's part of the point. The offensive line is what's really important.
I know, but you can't.
You
just
don't
put
need
it...
to invest in running back because if the rest works, you'll be fine.
You can't go ahead and put that all on
but
them
you
being
find
exponentially
an elite...
better because they changed up the running.
So
backs.
What do you think the Bills should do then this offseason running back? Should they pay Melvin Gordon?
Well, no.
I said it
no,
earlier.
Because
I
you
am
have
stinking terrified
because
that
you
they're
already
going to
have you have a weapon back there.
You
already
have a weapon, so you just need a second half like.
Well, they're
going to
want another.
I understand.
Want a complimentary piece.
I understand the philosophy of not using
Adrian
high
Peterson.
Draft capital in
yeah,
a
no,
running back and not paying one. But that, I think, is separate from
yeah,
their
no,
impact
like,
on the field because you look at, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have to do anything yesterday because the running back took over. That's what Derrick Henry did.
Yeah.
He had 400, nearly he had 377 rushing yards in the first 2 playoff games. Tannehill had, we said it, 72 passing yards and then 88. So like
you
I think we got to separate.
You
McCaffrey.
Are
value.
Out of your mind, by the way. Bring up McCaffrey. Listen to the list of running backs that went after McCaffrey at 8. Just hear me out. McCaffrey is probably the best running back in football right now, right? I'm here to tell you, drafting him at 8 is psychotic. Dalvin Cook went 41st. Joe Mixon went 48th. James Conner went 105th.
Right.
I skipped Alvin Kamara at 67. I skipped Kareem Hunt at 86. You could have drafted 5 or 6 other running backs
I'm not disagreeing with your philosophy of waiting. I'm saying once you have guy, you
I'm
have a
saying,
McCaffrey.
It's crazy.
You don't let him walk out of the building.
Retaining I do because I can draft.
Especially, especially in a soft cap league. Like if this is the NHL, it's a different story. But
I'd agree.
I can pay what there are so many different ways to maneuver the NFL salary cap, which by the way goes up by at least 10% every year.
And
Tariq
not
Cohen,
to mention.
Fourth round.
Not to mention though,
Aaron Jones in the 5th.
I know. I'm just but
investing draft capital that high may be more crazy. But when you got one, you've got
it, and
them.
It also doesn't mean like just because you can find one anywhere doesn't mean that they're not important. Like again, look what Derrick Henry did.
The replacement level though is so high then to me that does mean that they're not important and that like I don't need to pay them. Because
you don't need to pay them, but you need you. They can be a huge part of your success, though. Like,
no, of course
some
they
people
could
think
be.
That running back
that.
You don't have to have a running, and I don't think you have to have a dominant run game. Look
but
at the Chiefs, but
the replacement level is
doesn't
so
mean they're
high.
Useless.
When I have an option like the Titans this year, if I'm a talking about the Titans on the radio in Nashville right now, I am pleading with them not to pay Derrick Henry $10 to $15 million a year because I have two options. Derrick Henry's great. I don't dispute that. He was great this year, and he was great last year. He is worthy of being a team starting running back. But when my option is boiled down to, hey, I could pay Derrick Henry between $10 and $15 million, or I can draft a guy in the second or third round the likelihood is that guy's going to be pretty good for me.
You'd be talking to a fan base that took Bishop Sankey in those rounds, okay, and like he didn't pan out. So.
The only second-round running back who really stunk.
You're talking to the wrong fan base. They're going to want to pay Derrick Henry. Tennessee loves their running backs. Eddie George, Chris Johnson.
That was the
worst.
Pay him. I'm looking at that draft class, too, for running backs, 2014. That was awful.
Was Bishop that the Gio Sankey, Bernard, Eddie Lacy
There was
class?
No first round. It was Bishop Sankey, the first running back taken in the second round. Then Jeremy Hill, Carlos Hyde, Charles Sims, Trey Mason, Terrence West.
Trey Mason.
Jarek McKinnon.
Todd Gurley we thought before Todd
James
Gurley.
White in the fourth round is probably the best running back from that class.
What was the Gio Bernard, Eddie Lacy class? That just was maybe the year before.
I don't want to spend too much time. I just don't want the Bills to pay Melvin Gordon. It's the worst
idea
for
would
me.
They even think about I mean, they have a lot of money, I guess.
I don't know.
They
there were tweets and there were people and there were rumors that, hey, they might be interested in Melvin Gordon leading up to the trade deadline. And, man, I just hope that's not true. Singletary's good. Singletary's really good. Singletary was the best offensive player this year.
Needs to be used more and in different ways.
Should I hold back on that?
What?
I think he was.
What?
Was Singletary their best offensive player this year?
I think John Brown was, but I think Singletary,
he's
too,
definitely.
The way he progressed as a receiver, when they finally started to use him more in that area, like down the stretch, in that game against Houston in the playoffs, he had made some incredibly tough catches, and it wasn't just out of the backfield checkdowns. Like, he was motioning out into the flat, and I think he's an exciting player. I'm not someone that – I've seen mock drafts, too, where when ATN was still considered to be in this draft class, mm-hmm. I saw mock drafts where the Bills would be taking Travis Etienne in the first round. Like, I don't think you need to invest much. I think you have your guy, and now you add just a
– Another third-rounder.
I like T.J. Yeldon as a second running back in the league.
I thought it was crazy they didn't play him on.
I don't think he's someone that should be inactive. He had 800 total yards. He had almost 500 receiving yards in 2018.
Well, he also gave
I still don't get why – maybe the fumbles early in the summer and – I don't get why he was inactive. Especially when Gore had – he was averaging under 3 yards a carry like six of the final 8 weeks.
Yeah, he had a good – Gore had a couple of nice weeks at the beginning
early
when
on.
Singletary was out.
And then he
didn't really give them much of anything.
The drop-off was significant.
Yeah. Let's go – while we're on the draft for a second here, let's go to Mike in Jamestown. Mike, what's up, man? You're on WGR.
Hi, gentlemen. I like Cody Ford's toughness and his strength. I think he's a mauler in the run game. But I worry if he has the feet to be a tackle. I wonder if he'd be better suited to slide inside the guard. And my question about the draft is, I think if, you know, Snell and Jerry Jeudy and maybe the top two or three wideouts are gone by the time we pick, do you maybe go after a corner?
Oh, I don't want them to go after a corner in the draft. I really don't. I don't really want them to go defense at all, and if they were to do it, do it with the pass rush. Like, that's the only position
the only
you don't have, like,
a
stud.
Yeah, they need, like, a premier pass rushing edge.
No,
edge
I want
guy.
I want to go offense. Chris Trapasso earlier made a good argument for why they shouldn't draft a receiver in the first round because of the options
it's
that
deep.
Will be there for them in the second.
Yep. You could get a KJ Hamler or a Jalen Reagor. Like
this
a,
team,
I mean,
though,
guys,
at the same time, needs to start investing primary assets in the offense. They have not done that to this point. The most money they've given out to a free agent is Star Latulé, defensive lineman. Their draft picks so far, their first-round picks. Quarterback, good. They got that. Otherwise, their other first-round picks under this regime, cornerback, linebacker, defensive tackle. At some point, I need to start investing the best assets I have on the offensive side of the football, because otherwise I'm not doing my best job to surround a quarterback that needs some help with the help he needs.
I don't think they're crazy too, though, for like defensive line and offensive line. You got to have that. So,
but they have it.
No, but they've invested a second round pick in Cody Ford, a third round pick in Deion Dawkins, a first in Ed Oliver. Like, they've invested a first in Shaq Lawson. I know that was a different regime, but you do have to have that to me first. Now, though, I agree with you that you can't, I don't know. I don't like going cheap on weapons. For me, that's – I just –
Me neither.
You're talking about Melvin Gordon with the Bills. I'm envisioning A.J. I just – that seems like something they would do. He's the kind of receiver everyone's saying they need. They've got a lot of money. They have the third most cap space in the league right now.
The reason –
it just seems like something they're going to do.
The reason I wonder if he could end up here if he gets away from Cincinnati, there's a lot of noise that he's just going to stay there and that he wants to stay there. I don't think he should. I don't know why you would want to.
Joe Burrow.
That's some kind of loyalty if you're going to stick around in that situation.
I agree, especially after being there for a decade and not winning a playoff game.
Well, also if they pay him, because I think there's a question about how much he'd get in the open market. Like, he's great, but he's a 32-year-old wide receiver with a ton of injuries. And he's coming off a foot injury or ankle.
And he's a bigger guy, too. He's not someone that's – I mean, he was fast.
There's a reason to question how much money he gets. The reason I would think maybe the Bills could do it, and this is where the Bills live, because they are Buffalo, and because they don't have an elite quarterback right now that other teams look at, they will always have to overpay to get that type of wide receiver. So if A.J. Green hits the open market, and he starts looking around and looking around like, I kind of would like to go to Green Bay, but they're not really offering all this much. New England, but they're only giving me a two-year deal. You know, Houston, so, whatever. All these other teams aren't giving him monetarily and term-wise what he'd be looking for in a contract. Well, here's Buffalo, and they're giving you a five-year deal with $30 million guaranteed. I'm just spitting out random numbers here. Then maybe he goes, I can go to Buffalo. I can go to Buffalo. John Brown had a career year there. Cole Beasley had a almost career year there. Like, I could sign up for that. To me, they're at least stomachable in a receiver's eyes where that overpayment could get them here now. But I still think, like, if they want an A.J. Green, that's going to be a bigger contract, I think, than anybody else is willing to give them. And that's the only way I still see the Bills being able to get a player of that caliber, other than forcing the guy to come here by drafting him.
Let me ask you, because...
Which is kind of how they've lived lives in at the receiver position.
Do you think, because the talk is, you have John Brown, smaller, faster receiver. Cole Beasley, smaller,
quick
twitch, slot guy. He's going to dominate you in off coverage. It's like T. Higgins, everyone's talking about because he's the top prospect that's really tall in this wide receiver class out of Clemson. Do you think they need that? Because I look at the Chiefs, I look at the two Super Bowl teams right now, and I look at what the Chiefs have right now. They have two guys that run a 4-3 that are smaller, Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman. Sammy Watkins, pretty decent size receiver.
Honestly, DeMarcus Robinson, doesn't he run like a 4?
Yeah,
like
even DeMarcus Robinson.
All of their receivers
their fourth
are fast.
Guy is fast. And then I look at the Niners, and it's Deebo Samuel, a run after the catch king.
A run after the catch king.
Oh, he is. If you saw him
that, that would be my Twitter bio if someone ever called me that.
And who else do the – like, the Niners don't have a dominant, like, big wide receiver.
Well,
it would be
Kittle.
So, sure, but, yeah, both have really good tight ends. So maybe that's, the Bills have Dawson Knox, and we were talking about tight end
early
on.
So should we just hope that Dawson Knox becomes
I don't know if they necessarily need – I mean, you don't want another – like, I really like K.J. Hamler out of Penn State. He's a dude that's probably going to run in the 4-3s, but he's 5'9". I don't think the Bills should go in that route again, but they shouldn't say, we're going to take T. Higgins instead of Laviska Shenault out of Colorado because he's an inch or two taller, when Shenault's a better overall receiver with more explosiveness. To me, I don't think you need the 6'6 wide receiver. You want someone that can make catches in traffic. You kind of needed that at times against Houston, but I don't think that's something where that's the focus where all other parts of the evaluation process for a wide receiver go out the window. I don't think I'm just hunting for size.
No, I'm not hunting for size either, but that is the receiver type they need. Because
I don't think you need a 6'6 guy, though.
I sat in here last year and yelled almost every day of the offseason to stop with the big receivers. Like, the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Sick and tired of big lumbering guys like Kelvin Benjamin and Andre Holmes who could not get separation, couldn't get open, and then I just hope they come down with 50-50 passes. That was their entire receiving core. Zay Jones, like, was their quickest receiver. Like, give me a break. But now that they have, and they've turned their entire receiving core around, they've decided, all right, it is the right way to go with the smaller, fast guys that get open.
And they don't have to be small, like John Brown, 6'2 is fine.
Right, but I'd rather have the small guy that gets open than the big guy that can't.
Right.
Now what they need, and this is why T. Higgins maybe is intriguing to me, because he's not slow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say
that's
blazing
what I'm saying.
Fast.
I'm not just going for size, just for size.
They need the combo guy. They need the number one wide receiver. Yes. They need something that's better than John Brown and Cole Beasley, and that's why that type of idea is more intriguing to me, because I need now the guy that can get open consistently. I need a superstar receiver. I need the guy that can get open and the guy that's big and go get the 50-50 ball. I need Odell Beckham, even though he's only 6 foot, but his vertical.
But that's the point.
His vertical makes
but that's
him
the point.
Six.
Is like you can find. You just need an all around receiver, not just a tall receiver.
Well, that's what I'm saying though. When Allen drops back to pass, there were several moments this season. There was one in the playoff game where he throws it to Duke Williams in the end zone. There's the last play against Baltimore where he's got to get rid of it because here comes the blitz.
Yeah.
There's that final, basically mini Hail Mary play against New England at the end, where he throws a double covered jump ball to Cole Beasley, who's 5'8". At some point, I need an option that is, you know, not
just
a specialty
guy that's at least
player
6 foot.
That can actually be on the field consistently.
I agree.
That Allen can drop back and go, I need to get rid of it, throw it up to that guy. And I wonder if Dawson Knox can become that, because I compared him to Kittle earlier. And again, I almost hate making that comparison because George Kittle had 1,400 yards last year.
Sure.
Like, that's way too lofty to expect Dawson Knox to do that. But I do wonder if he could become that type of player. You can't bank on that, though. What he did in his rookie year was good, but a lot of drop issues. And at some point, I need a guy at the receiver position that can do that as well, and I need the guy that has the number one receiver capability. They don't have anybody like that right now.
No.
And I'd like to say they can go get Odell Beckham. I'm still mad at them. I'm still mad that there was a report out there that the Giants called the Bills about Odell Beckham and the Bills weren't interested. That one report, it might not even be true. The idea of it infuriates me because that player might have been available to them. And when there was a player like that available to them, and Antonio Brown, who again is a little different, but he's a true number one wide receiver, they were interested. I want them to be interested every single time a player like that becomes available until they have one.
But that's the guy, too, that they can add. Like, they can add an in. You're not going to find someone that's just
Amari
Antonio
Cooper, AJ
Brown.
Green are the only
right.
two that could
I'm
become.
Not that my point is
but
that
probably not.
They need just an all-around wide receiver one, not just a tall wide receiver, because then
that's hunting
for that. And I just, again, I look at the Chiefs and they don't need that at wide receiver. They don't have that at wide receiver. They have it at tight end, and so do the Niners, but I don't know. I'm not someone that's heading into this 2020 draft, and a lot of people are right now that are saying, I got to draft T. Higgins just because he's 6'3", 6'4". Like, I have to take this guy instead of this guy because, you know, he's Kelvin Benjamin size.
No, you're right. You make a good point there. Like, there are plenty of number one wide receivers. Because,
like you said,
there's
an Odell Beckham or an Amari Cooper that can catch those incredibly tough grabs with body control along the sidelines and in traffic that don't have to be that size.
No, you make a good point. It doesn't have to be strictly about size. I'd like them to get a player like that, but
again,
it doesn't
don't be 5'9", but you don't have to be 6'7".
If T.Y. Hilton became available tomorrow, I don't care that he's 5'9".
Right.
Go get him. Or 5'10". How tall is T.Y. Hilton?
He's
not like
he's
super
around
small.
John Brown size.
Again, if I'm just getting another
That's
way
what
better
the Colts
John
did.
Brown.
They took Paris Campbell.
I'm not saying no to that.
Yeah.
Paris Campbell.
Well, I'm saying like that's the same logic.
The worst
with the
fantasy
they
pick
with
maybe of my life is Paris Campbell in that receiving class.
You bought into the combine hype.
No, it wasn't the combine hype. I thought I was getting Andrew Luck's number two wide receiver. Instead, I got Jacoby Brissett's fourth
receiver.
Instead,
you got Philip Dorsett 2.0.
Oh, so he's going to go to New England to be good?
Maybe,
I'll take that. All right, 803-0550, if you got any thoughts on our draft conversation here. I do want to talk some division when we come back, though. A look at New England going forward a little bit, what they might be thinking. Now that Garoppolo is playing in the Super Bowl, I'm hoping Patriot fans are a little annoyed right now. Miami's future, the Jets, like what do the Bills got to compete with here going forward? We'll get into that a little bit when we come back. Two Bros Live, Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase here on WGR. We're laughing at Star Wars stuff over here, by the way. There's a baby Jabba the Hutt that's trending on Twitter.
It's a
new
thing.
Yeah. Oh, God. Have you watched The Mandalorian?
What the heck is that thing?
I have not, because people keep telling me to watch it, which annoys me, so I'm not watching it on purpose. It's
Derek,
protest.
Don't you agree? This is the stupidest logic of ever.
Yeah, that's the dumbest
logic.
That's
why I have not watched shows in which people recommend them to him.
Because
what is that?
It's those trendy, like Game of Thrones. It's when everyone's watching. It's like, you gotta watch Game of Thrones. You got, like, I know.
You can be annoyed that people are doing that, but you don't have to boycott the shows because
I'm not boycotting it on purpose.
You can have both. It sounds like you are.
Well, a little bit.
You literally described it as that. I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you. I kind of did that with Game of Thrones. It just was really. Okay, don't tell me what to do.
The Wire was the same way before
But for me,
Breaking Bad was also that way. I eventually caved in, and of course,
wasn't it amazing?
Yeah, it was fantastic, but
it just,
it's the premise.
But at the same time, you know what? You like what you like, and I know you like Star Wars, Louis.
I do.
So
I'm a prequels guy, though.
But why are you?
So why wouldn't you watch The Mandalorian?
Why would you limit yourself?
No, that's true. I'm not into Jabba Fett and Boba Fett. They kind of died.
I'm sorry,
it's not.
Who?
It's not.
Who?
Yeah, who's
Jabba Fett?
Who's Jabba?
Oh,
Fett.
Jango Fett. I was thinking of Jabba the Hutt here. Baby Jabba's in my head still.
Yeah, no, I think that Boba Fett is absolutely a punk ass and went out like a punk ass.
Are you? So you're not going to watch it?
No, I will eventually. I'm watching a lot of Hulu shows.
What I'd
right
say
now.
Though is that I've watched it. It's It's worth your time if you're a Star Wars fan.
It's hard
fan.
To get invested in one series when you're very deep into another that's ongoing, and I'm kind of waiting for that to come back up. So. Mm-hmm.
There's less going to be less sports on this week, though, so it's your chance. Now what do we have this year? Is this All-Star week? Because I hate that. NHL All-Star game.
Oh.
This week, maybe?
Yeah, I don't even care about that anyway. I'm not watching that.
You know, you got 2 weeks to the Super Bowl. Yeah, because the Pro Bowl's this weekend,
I'm not
too.
Watching that either.
This is All-Star week,
yes,
I think.
Yes, yeah.
Is the NBA All-Star game coming up?
No. A couple more weeks still for that.
I don't mind what the NHL's done with the All-Star game. It's still trash.
It's better than what the Pro Bowl is. You
but
can't fix the
it's
Pro
so
Bowl.
Much better than it used to be, the NHL All-Star game. Like, because at least you can't really hide the laziness anymore. Like, people are I'm not saying players are going 100%. They are certainly not going 100%. But they're going a certain amount harder than they used to because there's three guys on the ice opposed to five, and you can't get away with it as much. You know what I mean? If there are five guys on the ice, I don't have to. I could skate one stride every shift.
I just
and that's
don't.
It. Just
I don't think
around.
All-Star games. I don't know.
Should exist.
Yeah. There's no way to fix them. Like the MLB tried doing it, where remember the winner of the conference, like the NL, if
you know
they
how
win,
you fix
they get
them?
Home field advantage in the World Series. Like to me, that's way too much, going way far right, and then
you know how you fix them? Make them international. You can't do this with football, but make them like an international tournament. Do that.
What do you
hockey,
mean? Like how the NBA, the Thunder play,
make
like
the World
Latvia?
Cup your All-Star game.
Sure,
do that.
That's not an All-Star
week.
Game though anymore.
Yeah, it's
you're
several
getting rid
All-Star
of
games.
The All-Star game.
It's several games.
Wait, so
all
you,
you're trying
so
to do
oh,
is
so
sell a product
like,
to your corporate sponsors anyway.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And kids who just want to see the best of the
I'm
best.
I'm good just with the skills competition. I don't need anything more. I don't need a game.
They're going to be shooting pucks from the 200 level this year.
See, that's fun. That's fun. I like that. That's different. I like what the NBA does.
Until someone fans on a shot and a puck goes into the crowd.
I still think there's ways to do it for the NHL and the NBA, but the NFL, I don't think there's a way to fix that.
Have you watched the skills competition in the NFL? They play like dodgeball.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
And Jamal Adams tackles mascots and puts them in the hospital.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jamal Adams and you know mascots, that was not and that was probably not even a great transition.
Segue grade C plus.
I'll take the C plus. That's fine. the biggest threat to the Bills in the next 5 years in the division is who?
Ugh, I have no idea. Is
part
Bill
of me
Belich-
wants to say Miami, but I'm still going to say New England.
I know. I was thinking Miami too, just because of the draft capital.
The
and
Jets
if Tua
are just a
is something.
Mess.
The Jets, I like right now to be with the Bills pushing for the division because they went 6-2. Darnold, Le'Veon,
and
if
last
they
half.
Can keep that's what I meant. Robbie Anderson, if they can re-sign him, like there is talent there on both sides. But you mentioned it earlier. You talked about Adam Gase and if there is a teardown coming, which is crazy. Another team might allow this to happen,
right? Because there were rumors at the deadline that they might trade not just Jamal Adams, but Jamal
Le'Veon.
Adams and Le'Veon Bell.
So. I mean, I don't know. Are the Jets going to be this? Is this Jets team going to be the same in a year or two? I don't. So, I mean, to me, the best long-term future for a team competing with the Bills in the division, I think, is Miami. However, if Bill Belichick's still the coach for New England, it's very hard to say that they're going to suddenly be the dumpster fire of the AFC East. I don't think that's ever a scenario with Belichick coaching. So, the coward in me still wants to say the Patriots. But
well,
the Dolphins
my brain
maybe
wants
are,
to say the Patriots.
Yeah, right. Fair. My heart's telling me the Dolphins. My head's telling me the Patriots.
Depends if Tua just stays healthy. That's really all it is for me. I think he's the goods.
Because they also have another first. They have 2 seconds.
They're doing in a way
with
the Bills. They're doing in a way what the Bills did a couple years ago, and I think we just criticized the Jets for not doing. They're going to have everything torn down. When they start building back up is when their quarterback will be – that's when they'll be evaluating their quarterback, right? Like, the Bills have done that. They've set it up to where once we're really getting into evaluating how good Josh Allen is, the excuses are for the most part gone away. There's still a couple. They need a number one receiver. There's still some stuff hanging around. But the defense is good. They have a good running back. They have got continuity in the front office and in the coaching staff, and they're playing a more modern offense, at least a little more modern than they used to. So the excuses are few and far between when you're evaluating Josh Allen. I think the Dolphins are setting up a similar situation for if they get Tua for him coming
in
there.
The problem is they got the tank buster at their quarterback spot, so now they lose out on Joe Burrow.
Well, that's fine. We'll talk about Burrow later, but... No, we'll talk about him later. The Jets, on the other hand, like they're going... If Gase starts to decide now in his second year, hey, I'm going to unload our top running back. I'm going to get rid of our best defensive player. I'm not going to re-sign Robbie Anderson.
I don't understand.
I'm going to let some of this tear down start to happen now. Well, guess what? You're going to start to tear some stuff down before you build it back up in your quarterback's third season. You should be evaluating right now how good Sam Darnold is.
The fact that you are going to consider a tear down with Darnold in year three, that to me is insane. I just can't believe he has a job still. The fact that Gase, I can't believe he got a second head coaching gig, and the fact that he's 6-2 down the stretch helped him out. But
I can believe it, but I'm not sure. I was surprised it happened like that quickly.
It's hard to believe in the Jets.
Darnold was not that bad last year. I'll say it. I didn't think he was that bad. I thought, you know, the 62% completion percentage, the turnovers were still there. He was definitely a little wild at times. A lot of what he did last year reminded me of rookie Josh Allen, but he was more consistent than that. Big yardage games. He was, you know, okay in the Bills performances. He wasn't great. He wasn't necessarily terrible either. There's reason to think, I think, that he's still going to be a pretty good quarterback. Like, if I were going to rank all the quarterbacks in the AFCs for the next 5 years, which is what I told you to evaluate the teams by, like, Darnold's probably second.
It's going to be
and there might even still be an argument for him.
It's
going to
be four young guys, right? Because,
well, if Brady leaves. Well, maybe not. There's no way of knowing
what
New England does.
But
because we don't have a precedent.
Yeah.
We don't know what Belichick and the Patriots would want to do.
But right now,
when
Brady leaves,
we have Garoppolo. That's it.
Yes.
But that was a long-term outlook. If Belichick needs a short-term option on what to do with quarterback, who knows? He might want to go the cheap route and go give Andy Dalton an $8 million year contract.
Right.
He might want to go big and trade a second-round pick and pay Cam Newton. Who knows what he wants to do?
Maybe he wants
to go Jarrett Stidham.
Or,
I don't know.
Yeah, what if he goes Stidham, tries to tank it
I
out,
like Stidham, by the
and
way.
Go for it. My suspicion, they're going to try to tank this out.
I mean, I like Stidham in comparison.
Trevor Lawrence, the Patriot, 2021.
Oh, shut up.
I don't want to hear, at least, get
that sentence out of here. Can we dump that or something?
We at least know that 3/4 of the division will be
Trevor Lawrence,
Darnold, and probably Tua. Tua versus Darnold's interesting. I kind of like Tua better.
I'm just glad the Bills have won.
Yeah.
Not just glad. I wanted Mahomes like an hour and a half ago.
Yes.
Obviously, still want Mahomes. But do we ever reach a resolution on that, by the way? What was your answer to that?
To what?
How much
we got very
how
deep
much,
into that
how much blame do the Bills deserve for not picking Mahomes?
I was kind of in the middle of you and Derek. You weren't really that radical about like saying that they deserve a ton of blame. Sean McDermott's on the hot seat, Brandon Bean, yeah. Huh. I understood the logic, but my problem was how the logic got there was because of just, to me, bad timing with how they formed their organization with this new regime when they decided to bring in a new general manager, a new scouting department. I don't want to accept that. We were in year one, and we didn't want to go that deep and that kind of investment there. I don't accept that logic. I think it's hard to get mad at them for not seeing Patrick Mahomes into what he is now because I don't think anybody foresaw this. Coming out of Texas Tech. I wasn't really a big fan of that entire class, so I'm kind of in the middle. They do definitely deserve blame. We shouldn't shut up about it and never discuss it. But at the same time,
That's where I'm at.
I'm kind of in the middle.
803-0550, you got any last thoughts to get in with myself, Joe DiBiase, and Lou DiBiase here? You got another segment to do that before Mike Shope takes over at 3 o'clock. He'll have Sal on from Mobile, Alabama. Sal might not actually be there. He's going to the Senior Bowl, though, for sure this week. So Sal will be on to talk some more Bills at 4 o'clock. So stay tuned. Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase. Derek Kramer here as well on WGR.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's been a true pleasure. The organization took a chance on me, and I felt like I gave them everything I got. You know, obviously we're not sure what's going to happen, but I know when it's all said and done that I gave this organization everything I could.
Tom Brady,
Ryan Tannehill.
Someone's got the right team.
Tannehill. Oh, Mariota.
It's Marcus Mariota.
Why do this to me? Right to wrap up the show.
He shot.
I was clamoring for him so hard to get in the end zone.
Yeah, why not get a throwback to you for the last time?
I'm not giving up on this. That. I believe a change of scenery will do him good, and he'll be a good starter somewhere. I disagree.
He's got nerve damage in his right elbow.
I don't believe you.
Did you watch him against the Bills? He could the football. It came out of his hands.
He's had a year to recover. He's had a year on the sidelines.
I don't think nerve damage is something that just goes away in 6 months.
I don't know.
I think he's shot. Speaking of, we've talked a lot of Tom Brady and his future today, which I'm assuming.
Real quick about Brady, I'm so happy the old guard is not in the Super Bowl. Like, it's the first time since Ravens Niners, that we don't have at least, like, there's always at least one of
the
Brady,
Super Bowlist.
Manning,
yeah. Roethlisberger.
Yeah. Like, finally we just have
Flacco's someone, the only one mixed in there.
Yeah, was very unappealing. Someone new and someone new and different is going to win the Super Bowl.
It's only when San Francisco makes it on the NFC side, apparently.
Yes.
So we've got up on the screen here right now, we've got ESPN on. It's Brady says he is, quote, open-minded about playing for another team in 2020. So that's going to continue to roll on this offseason. We'll have plenty more time to talk about that. Yeah. Quickly, before we get out of here, though, how upset are you if you are a Patriot fan that you don't have Garoppolo going forward right now? And Brady's about to leave.
I don't
know.
You got a Super
Bowl. Have they won twice since Garoppolo won left?
He got traded in 2017. They lost to the Eagles that year, and then they won another one the year after. So you got another Super Bowl win out of it. I don't know.
So you're probably happy.
But for the Patriots, though, what is one Super Bowl win for the Patriots fans?
Yeah.
Like, to us, that's fine. We'll take that. But for them, I wonder if you asked a Patriots fan right now, would you trade that one Super Bowl in 2018 for Jimmy Garoppolo? I wonder what they would say.
Oh.
I do. The year before.
That question sounds bonkers to me.
I know. But
they have
to
five
them,
already.
Though, it's, I don't know what it's like to win five titles. So it's got to be different.
Yeah, and then you'd have the long term. You'd have a little bit more longevity.
Yeah,
so that you can keep going.
You're guaranteed to at least because you don't know what's going to happen now.
Yeah, it's
with Belichick, you're probably guaranteed to at least be in playoff contention. But
it's funny because you mentioned it. Like, it's weird to have this question, Joe. It just
I'm glad it exists.
It's fun to see that
it's
it
nice
exists
for us.
No, it's super. If Garoppolo was still on New England and they were just waiting for, this guy's going to take over. He's going to be great. I mean, at this point, it would be pretty ridiculous because he's 30.
Yeah,
Garoppolo's
he's
older.
Not. He was drafted in 2014.
I thought it was 2012.
And
no,
even then,
no,
he was
no.
drafted. 20,
he was
older.
He was in the Bridgewater Carr Bortles class. He was in the second
round
pick.
Yes, that's correct.
Crap draft class.
But that was still 7 years ago.
He's 28.
So, yeah.
So he wouldn't still be hanging around. But if he was the Patriot quarterback right now at 28 years old, and again, he's not like a superstar. He's pretty good. New England with him, like if
he's
that
solid.
Was going to keep going.
He's not good enough for me to be frustrated if that was like what was coming.
I'm not a big quarterback win guy, but he's 21-5.
Yeah, I just.
Never mind. Ignore that.
Passes, it's like.
Yeah, no. But you know what? I would say I'm not frustrated, but I would be annoyed.
Okay, fair.
That's where I'd be too. And if I'm a Patriot fan, I'm annoyed that he's not there.
No, a Bills fan, I'm annoyed if he's waiting.
Yeah. All right, thanks everybody for listening. Myself, Joe DiBiase, Lou DiBiase, will be back with you tomorrow. Thanks for Derek Kramer for hanging out as well. Stay tuned. Mike Shope up next, and Sal Capaccio will join him at 4 right here on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.